Okay, so let's come right back in with Mike Williams' comment, which has just now gone way up the ladder here. I've got to scroll backwards to find it. Okay. It definitely has a still point of trust. So are we talking about the yearning, Mike, that has a still point of trust? Maybe we can say more about that. Meanwhile, Ginger Rogers says he may be looking for evolution like is studied in biology classes, but it never hurts to send email to, oops, that's back to Science Guy, I guess. Just kind of distracting. So, Mike, what is the it in the it definitely has a still point of trust? Oh, I don't see that yet, so maybe you'd like to go on, Dave. Oh, yes, yearning. So yearning has a still point of trust. Maybe we can say a little bit more about that. Any comments while Mike is working on that? So we don't have a huge silence on our recording.
Can I say something about yearning?
Please do say it loudly.
I think that as a yearning, the pure sense of yearning only happens as a child, I think. And I think that we
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. It only happens as a child.
because I think our coping mechanism, the way we cope in the world, comes from not having our yearnings met.
So the way what Leona is saying is the way we cope in the world is not having our yearnings met.
Or we shut down because we find the yearning painful and then we end up sentimental. And what I would ask is there a way with perhaps supportive, more awake parents to direct that yearning in a way that allows the non-phenomenal self to be educated, as Silverdale would say?
For
I don't know
me,
about the parents part.
Leona?
what I'm thinking is that my desire at this point of my life is to open to that well inside that shut down, like get open to the yearnings, open to be open to the purity of yearning.
That's a
Yeah.
beautiful image to consider it a purity, and I think that's very important work to begin to own any yearning that we pushed away from ourselves and begin to allow the vibrational sense of it inside ourselves to return. I think that's an awakening force to reunite with the yearning and actually allow ourselves to feel it and to explore it. Now, Sama says here, I think yearning comes from the essential self, our search for the work or for the group or teacher, even though the ego or personality resists it. Good point. It is that yearning that drives us. Yes, we, essential self, yearn for this process and transformation. We move forward toward it, even though we may find it irritating. Well, what is it that finds it irritating, Sama? I would say that the mechanical self finds it irritating, and the non-phenomenal self finds it refreshing, and that kind of irritation is something that a number of the exercises in practical work on self are designed to cultivate and to sustain, because that irritation is one of the conditions for that support awakening. And she said, but the essential self does not yearn with sentimentality as the ego would. That's right.
Good.
So it seems we're at the end of a string of comments. We're also moving along in time. Shall we move on to our next chapter, which is one of my favorites, the red-faced donkey?
Sure.
We have much to gain from manifesting without considering, without fear for self, without desire to protect our vanity and self-love. We must free ourselves from the opinions of others.
Do we know what these phrases mean? Manifest without considering, without fear for self, without desire to protect our vanity.
Well, there's that whole nasty little inner dialogue that can go on and on and on about whether to say something or whether not to say something or how we're going to look if we do say something or what's going to happen if we speak out and whether someone's going to approve of us or like it or not like it or judge us. And that can go on and on and on. And that is considering.
Yeah, considering what others say. I'm going to read really quickly just a few of the paragraphs so that we at least have discussed them in the class and have a basis for going forward with the exercise, which is always an exciting exercise.
You're
Just
going to, who are you going to discuss? Oh, you said you're going to discuss them in class.
I'm
So
going
that we
to.
had discussed them in class. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Disgust is an appropriate thing relative to the red-faced donkey. And I didn't consider it before I said it. So it just came out.
Discussed. I see. So we will have discussed it in class. That was a pun. It's a good one. Okay. And nevertheless, I'm going to proceed anyway. So paragraph two, all the people you know are in automatic sympathy, emotional identification of the mental centrum with trivial things. All the people you know. Do you believe this? Do we actually believe this is true? Does anybody believe it's true as you
Yeah.
go through? You do?
I do.
You do.
Nod your head to
Nod your head if you're on the phone only. Maybe you find it hard to understand them now, but later on, after you have worked a little to awaken the machine, the distance will seem even greater and more impassable. And jumping ahead, when exactly does mere whim become whimsy? Whimsy can, however, be used as a source of peculiarities for some sort of leverage for efforts in conjunction with evolution of our will to awaken the machine. Now, we have two prospects. This is a nice paragraph. This is on page 132, the third complete paragraph. We have two prospects, trivia and whimsy. We must differentiate between them. In the beginning, we are all like dull, dry Ellis. True. Later, we may become more like the droll caterpillar or gain the otherworldly wit of the Cheshire cat. We must never become the time-conscious, neurotic, eager to please white rabbit, which is the machine at its worst. Okay, now there's a whole list of opportunities here. We could make trivial opinions, relationships, for instance, our associates' pecking order, diet, routines, speed or tempo of work. Remember, these are things that we can make trivial, that we take with great importance throughout our day. The machines automatically generated negative feelings about the manifestations of others or critical feelings about the environment, feelings of personal hurt, self-righteousness, making others wrong, the desire to do whatever we prefer to do upon rising in the morning instead of trying to awaken the machine. The manner of we get out of the bed, very important. The feelings of resentment which result from disagreement or disapproval, boredom, the automatic desire to manifest in a particularly sincere or earnest fashion to what others have to say. So those are some things that are generally in population held of great importance and this important, you know, gosh. We could make important to change the tempo of the machine's actions. If we move like a maniac, slow down. If you move like a turtle, speed up. To have the hair brushed, neat and all day, make it super important. To have your shoes on at all times, really critical.
Especially in the shower.
Even in bed or in the shower. To make sure to lead with the right foot while going through doorways, stepping off curves. Wash the dishes as soon as the meal is over, to dress or undress, particular, to walk around with an egg in the right-hand pocket, which, by the way, I did.
Did you?
Yes. No, I was doing magic tricks at the time. No, it was a regular egg.
It wasn't an ostrich egg?
It was just a regular chicken egg, chicken egg, uncooked, and I had to... was part of my magic tricks. I had it in my pocket.
I would have loved to have given you a hug at that point with a belt buckle on.
No, I could have done that. I could have. This little exercise is based on the idea that what the machine finds offensive to its vanity, this is the issue here, will force it to awaken just a little. Whenever possible, without neatly becoming offensive or obnoxious about it. Take a totally undefendable position, untenable position about something. So everybody's, you know, saying, you know, the oil spill in the Gulf is really a bad thing. I don't know about that, you know. Take a position, a wild position.
Oh, that one could be dangerous.
Well, you have to be careful. Because
or offensive.
Next paragraph. This experiment must, of course, be harmless to oneself and others. That's always the case when we're doing work on self. It's critical. We are guests, in a sense, on the planet. We must be harmless to oneself and to others at all times. They haven't bought into it. They have not bought into it. Maintain this posture just like the red-faced donkey you really are, regardless of how disgusted others become of you, no matter what they call you or how they consider you from then on. Soon, you have to be a total social disaster. And I know some of you personally, and you've achieved that position. You've done a great job. Do not be a slave to the opinions of others. Be free of what others think of you.
Especially David's opinion.
Be free of your own opinion of your machine's manifestation. Freedom cannot be purchased like an automobile or a full-length sable coat, although freedom has its price. Suffering inside with this donkiness, this double-edged sword. The machine cannot be a donk in the eyes of itself and others, but the being feels no humiliation, of course. And you just need to be careful. And then I'd like to point something out in the final paragraph.
You say you need to be careful. I don't understand what you're saying.
Can you repeat that more loudly, please?
Leona is saying,
be careful. What do you mean, be careful? Like, what does that mean?
Okay, Leona is saying, be careful. What does that mean when we're doing our various projects of work on self, where we do things in society, let's say, that are different? And, you know, don't, you know, let's just say you start to express a strange opinion, and people really get hurt by it, really get upset if you really press in a certain way. Then you should back off at that point. They didn't ask to be part of this exercise. That's all I mean, just societally.
Okay, I understand that.
Okay, that's all, nothing more.
Okay.
The last paragraph is quite interesting. Dare to manifest without the fear of humiliation. This exercise of intentional humiliation, along with repair of the heart by following the moving manifestations of the machine during manual labor, and the ascension onto the cross, the intersection of time and space, by contemplation upon the psycho-emotional identification with the sensations, emotions of the man on the cross, is the Western monk's great secret. Three different lines of work there. The one we're dealing with is dare to manifest without the fear of humiliation. Now, in some of the classes, we've actually taken the time to go around and ask people what they're going to do, but I just want to make sure that we have a sense of the exercise as we go forward in this coming week, and if anybody would like to say, have any questions, that'd be great.
Townsend Girl says she's lost. In what way is she lost? That might come up in a minute. What you just mentioned, that there were three different lines of work, and you talked about one of them. What are the other two lines of work?
We're not going to get into that today. If you can let me off the hook on that one, I'd appreciate it.
No problem, as long as we acknowledge that we brought them up, and then you're sort of hanging there. And Sinhog, I don't have to try, so this exercise, it just happens, ha-ha. And Tansy
yeah.
Girl, the two lines of work and the stuff about the monks. And then Sama, me too, Sinhog. Yeah, same here. So, right, so we don't want to go into the two lines of work, and do we, what about the stuff about the monks?
Right now we're dealing with the first part of the chapter. I'm not prepared to answer that questions on that last paragraph at this moment. I mean, the last, about those two lines of work and the monk. The three lines of work are the secret of the Western monk, working in that way.
Oh, I guess it'll have to remain secret for the moment.
It'll remain secret for a little while. So, do we have a sense of working with making certain things that are important trivial, and things that are trivial suddenly very important? But in a sense, to do it in a way where you're seen, because otherwise it won't have an impact. You want it to have a little bit of an impact when you go out into the world, so that you do have a little bit of a self-reflection on it. For the next week, it's the red-faced donkey.
No comments coming in on this one.
I have one that I'm... is there time?
Oh, yeah. Jump in.
I can't hear you.
Jump in.
Jump in. Okay. Like, often, the way that I think and feel, it feels like a red. I don't have to bring one up. in certain spaces and certain places. Just the way that a person, just the way that I am, causes that kind of create that kind of chaos. So
you do this organically.
You think pick something that is trivial and something that is important. I don't know. I kind of lost at the moment right now.
What's the difference? What's the difference? Do we do this automatically all the time? Of course. That's easy, right? What's the different element here?
It's not easy.
What's
it's uncomfortable.
What's not easy?
It's not easy to have a different opinion in a group of people who have a difference of opinion. It's not easy.
That's correct.
Well, that's about maintaining your identity. And that can be challenging, and that does require relaxing the tendency to reach for approval. I believe the exercise is a little bit different than that, because what you're talking about, there's identity involved. And with this one, it's more like the chapter about the whim. And
okay.
It's more about creating something that's non-essential, in just something that could be trivial, rather than something you have an opinion or have your identity wrapped around. And you're creating it to begin to free yourself from the habitual aspect of identity by making the things that are important to your identity unimportant, and the things that, like some people, keeping their hair combed all the time is a really big deal. They shouldn't be using that one. It's the people who don't find it very important. Making it important is a different focus, just like it's a different focus to walk to notice going through the doorway, and an even greater different focus to go through those doorways with your right foot every time. So if it's unimportant, it's a win.
Let's say that it's unimportant to you, to whatever, you know, your hair is unimportant to you. And you're with a group of friends, and normally it's totally unimportant, and they say, oh, it's time to go, let's go, we're a little late, hurry up. And you say, wait, I have to fix my hair. That would be an example. If you know, if you're normally, it's not a big deal to you. And you suddenly, you hold up the entire group, or you're ordering Chinese food, and then says, oh, well, let's just get number 2, number 7, and number 13, and then you go, well, you know, let's try number 2, or let's try this, or I don't like that, and you suddenly get into a whole thing about it, and you up the temperature a bit. And when that occurs, and you notice, you know that you're acting like a jerk in a sense, a certain kind of attention comes on you. The difference in the way that, because we all are butts when we go through life, but the idea, the difference is intentionality, all right? So we're working with intentionality here, not just what we normally do to make ourselves jerks.
So Sinhog said humiliation is painful. Yes.
Yeah.
And Sama, we are doing it deliberately with attention. And Sinhog,
yeah,
on purpose. And Diana, different, more conscious. And Sama,
yeah,
and observation. And then Ginger Rogers, I'm just going to read the chapter and then try some experimenting right after I read it. It's a pretty short chapter. And
yes,
then Townsend Girl said, a new kind of jerk?
Yes.
Exactly.
recreate your jerkness.
So So,
Okay.
we're right on the half hour for when we usually end, although we did start late. Shall we keep going or shall we stop?
I'm okay. Whatever people want to do, we should cut it off in a few minutes, though.
I'm not seeing a lot of comments coming in, and I don't really feel any pressure out there to pick up another new train. Is there another comment out there?
Teresa, can you hear me?
Yes, but speak up loudly, and then everyone will hear you.
Yeah, no. No, I think that this exercise invites to be very creative. You have to be very creative to create that
You'll have to repeat the
dissonance.
question, Teresa.
Yes, that's true. Guillermo, you do have to be very creative to do this exercise to bring forth a whim in your behavior
Create
that way.
dissonance that you're looking for.
Say that again.
To create that dissonance inside.
To create a dissonance inside. Yes.
Yeah.
So, for instance, suppose I like to live in order. My house is very well ordered. It could be an exercise that I leave everything a mess, just like it is.
That's right, especially if you're having dinner company. You could leave your house a mess, and then they'd come over and they expect your normally well-ordered house, and the house is a mess, and you just say, oh, well, whatever.
Some of us who don't have a well-ordered house could give you some advice.
And then Sama said, I'm still trying to decide what to make trivial and what trivial to make overly important. Well, if you're living with someone, maybe they'd like you to make the house really clean. Townsend girl said, try not matching clothes. Giggle.
Some of us that never wear the same socks anyway,
Well,
so.
try like stripes and flowers together. Diana, this will be hard. Some of us still stuck on the outside world. Yeah, Diana, what was that with the hair dryer?
It's especially good to do, Diana, in a business meeting. You have to be very, very, definitely don't do it at airports. You have to be very delicate, but there's that moment of uncomfortableness that is so juicy. You know, it's a funny thing about professional men, that I've worked with. You go to lunch or something, and you know, these are pretty well-educated attorneys, CPAs or whatnot. They're all smart. They know what they're doing. And what's the topic of conversation at lunch? Two things: sports or girls. That's it. And you drop something like, you say something like, God forbid if you say something like Spinoza or you use the word like Tolstoy, suddenly everything stops. You say, yeah, I just finished Anna Karenina. And the whole table just goes, everybody freezes for a second. And then I watch the Dodger game.
That's good for him. We've got some funny comments here. Diana said, remember, I hike with my earrings and makeup, which is why I mentioned the hair dryer. Townsy girl says, okay, no more makeup for you. And then Diana says, oh my God, I'll have to go to a meeting with men and leave food stuck in my teeth, which is excellent. That's a really great one. And
Well,
then
there's that stuff that was hanging from your nose in that one picture.
And then Townsend girl, oh, now we're back to gooey or juicy. And then Diana, I got one for you. Talked about God to a bunch of clients and they attacked me. Townsend girl, eep.
There you go.
I one time had a client come over. I believe they needed to pick something up and they were on the wrong time zone or something like that. And they came over and I was in my bathrobe and they just needed to pick something up. And I just kind of pretended that I wasn't in my bathrobe. and got it for them.
That's embarrassing.
It was really embarrassing.
So I think we're there. And now, wait a minute. Is next Wednesday...
You ought to know. You're the one who's not going to be here next Wednesday, so I guess none of us will be.
Oh, so that's the Wednesday I'm not going to be here, right?
Well, that's what you told me last week, so I would assume so.
Okay, so we're going to take a break from class next Wednesday. The following Wednesday, which I have no idea what the date is. It's in June, though.
Well, we're going to be donkeys.
We'll be donkeys by that time. And
2 weeks of donkiness. Oh, boy, extra time for the best chapter.
2 weeks of being a donkey. So we won't see you next week, but we'll see you the following week. And thanks so much for coming. Looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Good night, everybody. And thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.